Well, let's turn back to John's Gospel and to chapter 6 of John's Gospel. To words of Jesus at verse 63, where he says, "The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." If you've got an NIV, you'll see the footnote could be capital S or small s. The actual original Greek is ambiguous. The new, the 2011 NIV actually has the words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit, capital S, and life. Yet there are some of you, Jesus says, who do not believe. Some don't believe. They don't believe. What do they not believe? They don't believe that Jesus' words that he has spoken give life. And they don't believe, as Jesus has been saying to them, that he is the bread of life. Well, I had planned this morning to continue our series on 1 Peter. And if I had, I would be preaching on submission to the governmental authorities, because that's what Peter's on in chapter 2 of 1 Peter next. So that'll be next week now, probably. 11:30 last night. I thought, no, I'm not preaching on that today. Especially in Kyle with the holiday club stuff going on, I just thought, no. And this is what God laid in my heart. So it's raw, it's not polished. But then you probably say that about me all the time. Yeah. Imagine Jesus saying, as he says in verse 64, to a group of people who are described in verse 60, 61 as his disciples, to whom he's been speaking, as verse 59 says, in a synagogue, that there are some of them that don't believe. This is not Jesus speaking to a group of Gentiles, not Jesus speaking to a group of religious pagans. He's not speaking to a group of outsiders who have just stumbled upon him for the first time. He's speaking to a group of people with an incredibly rich, a uniquely rich spiritual history. And he's speaking to a group of people who, on top of that, have been associating with him. And he says, some of them don't believe. Now, I find that immediately quite a sobering thing, because it means that we can be here this morning, presumably because we are here this morning, we have a measure of religious practice and religious knowledge and background. And yet, we may not believe. That's the reality of it. We may not believe. Let's go through verse 63 particularly. Jesus says in verse 63 that the flesh counts for nothing. When he uses the word flesh there, he's speaking about what can be accomplished by human effort. And in the context, he's speaking about the religious history where the people knew that Moses had led their ancestors in the desert of Sinai and had been the man through whom God had done amazing things, and they had seen God provide for them daily the manna and the quail, water from the rock. And yet Jesus is saying all of that counts for nothing. You can have been there, says Jesus, and he wants them to remember that, you know, however many hundreds, thousands of their ancestors had been there in the desert, they'd seen all that God had done, just as the people now are seeing all that Jesus is doing. And yet, as Jesus says, verse 58, for example, your forefathers ate manna and died. Many of them died not believing personally in the God who was bringing them salvation from the slavery of Egypt, and still worshipping other gods while in the Israelite camp. So you can be part of religion. You can be part of exciting religion. You can be very religious yourself. Whatever the flesh can do, you can be part of it. You can be part of the flesh in terms of real self-discipline, real effort to be a good person, to be a person who keeps high moral standards, to be a person who practices the tenets and the rituals of your religious belief. You can be a person who is very earnest, very sincere, and very devoted. But if it's simply on the level of the flesh, if it's simply about what you do and what you can achieve and what you can accomplish by your effort, Jesus says, and really it's pretty blank and stark, the words here. It counts for nothing. It counts for nothing. Because it's purely material. It's purely what man does. If you're not actually seeking God to work in your life, you won't get closer to Him by all the efforts that you make. Because it is the Spirit who gives life, verse 63. The Spirit who gives life. Now, the life that Jesus is speaking about there is not natural, biological life. It's not the life that we get by virtue of being born from our mother's womb. The life Jesus is speaking about is the life that He's been speaking about in the whole of this episode. He's been speaking about eternal life. There's some great words in this passage, even where we read, like verse 40. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What life is that? Well, it's not biological life. Although it includes that, it includes the continuation of biological life, because he's speaking about a resurrection. I will raise him up at the last day. But it's eternal life. And eternal life isn't just everlasting life. Eternal life is something much more than just living on forever. It's not just like your biological body just somehow gets the property that it just doesn't age, it just doesn't die, it can't die, and you just keep on going. That might not even be a great prospect. The reality is, I think most of us probably realise that as we get older. Think, well, I don't want to live forever like this. I do want to live forever. The life that Jesus is speaking about, it's not biological life. It's God's life. It's a life that God has. See, God has life. I can't describe it. Jesus doesn't even try to explain it. But the life of God is just life that exists from everlasting to everlasting. It just is. God is. Doesn't age, doesn't decline, doesn't change. God is. And He is the blessed God. And the life that Jesus is speaking about here is to share in the life of God, is to have God's life in us. As He says in John 17, when He praised His Father, He says, Father, this is eternal life, that people will know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You've sent. This is life, to know God. To know God in our lives. To know God within us, working in us. The Spirit of God gives life. This life comes from God and from nowhere else. And he says this. He says, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Now I go with the translation, certainly, that capitalizes the spirit there. That he's speaking about the way that when Jesus speaks, God's spirit comes, God's life comes to us. If we want to have this life of God in our lives, then the flesh won't do it. Our efforts won't do it. No matter however much we pan ourselves in being religious, being good, being disciplined, will not give us this life. The thing about religion is, generally, when you get to the real heart of it, it's about us showing God what we can do. It counts for nothing, says Jesus. The life doesn't come from the flesh. It doesn't come from being fed by the manna. It doesn't come from being fed by the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. It doesn't come from being in the synagogue with Jesus. It doesn't come from being religiously active, regular, committed, disciplined. It comes from the word of Jesus speaking into our lives, because Jesus' words are different to other words. Jesus' words have the same nature as the word of God, which says, let there be light, and there was light. When you read through the Gospels, it's exciting because Jesus speaks and things happen that can't happen. Pick up your mat and walk. Can't do that. Can't pick up my mat and walk because I can't walk. Pick up your mat and walk. He got up his mat. He picked up his mat, got up, and walked out in full view of them all. That's what the scripture says. It's what happened. The centurion, remember? He believed that. He believed from what he'd heard, maybe from what he'd seen of Jesus speaking and things happening that couldn't happen. And his servant was sick. And he sent word to Jesus. And he said to him, Jesus, you don't even need to come to my house. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus' words give life. They are spirit and they are life. They bring transformation. Like in the garden after the resurrection comes Mary Magdalene. If you have taken his body, tell me where you've laid it. Miriam. Jesus speaks her name. Life. Spirit. It's Jesus. The lights go on in her being. It's Jesus. He's alive. That's the life that Jesus' words contain. Even just a name. Lazarus. Come forth. Lazarus is dead. He's been dead for days. By now there'll be a bad smell, the sisters say. Did I not say that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth because the word of Jesus is spirit and life. It raises the dead. It heals the sick. It feeds the hungry. It calms the storm. It opens the eyes of the blind. It takes away the fears. It forgives. It forgives. You and I will never live unless we hear Jesus' word. Not in the way Jesus is speaking about here. We will never live unless we hear his word. The challenge for you and me is that we will seek that word every day. Because God said through Moses back in the desert in Sinai, man cannot live by bread alone. Whether it's coming by manna from heaven or whether it's coming from five loaves and two fishes miraculously transformed by the word of Jesus, you can't live by bread alone. You need every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what God said through Moses to the Israelites. And that's what Jesus is saying here. The flesh counts for nothing. You and I need to hear the word of God in our lives. It needs to make a difference. And the only way we can hear it is if we seek it. And hopefully that's what you're doing this morning. I was privileged last night to be in the prayer meeting with the team who were up with the Challenger bus for the holiday club. Just to hear them pray was just such a tonic. They've been doing weekly missions for the last several weeks. They've been out in Lewis. Just come from Point in Lewis. And they've been in Shawbost and Carloway and Uig and Bernera. They've been in North Uist. They've had a great time. And I can't believe how fresh they are after 6 or 7 weeks of mission. Well, it's not always been the same team, but the guy who's leading it, Neil Boddy, who'll be preaching tonight, man, he's even older than I am, and yet he's bounding with energy and enthusiasm. What's going on there? And to hear them pray, what's going on? Well, it's the word of God that's given life. And they were quoting particular scriptures last night in prayer and bringing those scriptures to God in prayer and saying, Lord, you said, Jeremiah 33:3, you said, call to me and I will show you great and unsearchable things that you did not know. And they were calling to him. And there was another scripture that I'd forgotten even existed, obscure passage in Zechariah 9 about prisoners of hope and God restoring them twice as much as what they had and all the rest of it. Praying about that. Passages that I've obviously spoken. They've given life and hope and enthusiasm and excitement and expectation. But you've got to seek that. You don't get that unless you seek it. You've got to seek out the words of Jesus. It's not that you need to seek out words. There are plenty of words about. But you need the words of Jesus. When you and I are drowning in words. We're awash with words. There have never been so many words in people's lives as we have in ours. Words are bombarding us from all media. Words from lips. Words from the books that we read. Words from our newsreels. Words on our social media. Words, words, words. Hundreds and thousands and millions and billions of words, and none of them give life. Just the words of Jesus. If you want life, you will not find life in all the trillions of words that are churned out every day from all the different media that are available today. There have never been so many words, and yet such a famine of the Word of God, to use an Old Testament image. You can listen to the words of the flesh, the words of man forever, and they won't give you eternal life. You need to hear the words that Jesus speaks, the words I have spoken to you. They're the ones that are spirit and life. The challenge of this passage for me and for you is that we would give time in our lives for the words of Jesus, because they're the words that give life. They're the words that comfort, that encourage, that inspire, that bring hope, that challenge, that warn. The words of Jesus, they're the words that give light in the darkness into our souls. Because they're not just words. Just like when God said, "Let there be light," those weren't just words. They contain the Spirit of God, the life of God, the power of God. They transform. They achieve what they set out to accomplish. For God's word will not return to him empty. Remember that, Isaiah 55. But will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. If we don't give ourselves to seeking God's word each day, if God's word is not the word that we're hanging on each day, then something can happen in our lives. Maybe gradually, but it'll happen. And it happens in verse 66 here, and it's a bit of a shock. And the Gospels, because they're history, they tell the story of Jesus, warts and all. And they tell us that some people didn't believe. And they tell us that some turned back and no longer followed Jesus. Because that's what happens when people don't seek the word of life from Jesus. So you see, there's a difference. People are hearing Jesus, but they're not listening. They're hearing Jesus, but they're not seeking the word of God. They're hearing Jesus, but the words that weigh more with them are other words. Contrary words. And that can happen to people in church as well. We can go and be in church and got our prizes from Sunday school for memorizing verses of the Bible and memorizing Psalms or whatever. But in the end, well, we can be like verse 66. Because we're not seeking the word, we lose touch with the living God. Or even worse, verse 70, "Have not I chosen you, the 12, yet one of you is a devil?" Judas Iscariot, "Judas, how did you do that? You were there with Jesus for 3 years. You heard these words." But other words mattered more to Judas. He wasn't seeking to feed on the words of Jesus. That's why we need to make a special disciplined effort to seek what God would say to us. Because we know the flesh counts for nothing. We know our religion won't get us to heaven. We know all the words that we can produce and all the words in the world and all the efforts in the world count for nothing. They won't give us this life. Only Jesus can. So we need to seek day by day to live on what he says, so that we can have eternal life, can have the life of God in our lives, can live as masters of life, and live in hope, but come to the end of our lives still bathed in hope, looking forward to being raised up at the last day, but looking forward to being with God and sharing his life with all the incredible fecundity and richness and glory that means forevermore. So, choose your words carefully. Choose the right words, not just to speak, but to hear. Choose Jesus' words and let them be what you seek every day, the source of your life, now and always.